Well, praise God, you believe that?
Yes.
That there's power in the name of Jesus?
Yes.
Come on, look at somebody around you and say, there's power in the name of Jesus. Y'all sound like y'all really believe that this morning. I want to just say a little bit about this book. I always am a little wary of Christian authors. Because they usually say about three quarters good, and then they say a quarter that something's really stupid. And so I don't, you know, unless it's a book, an old book, like I know the author and I've read through it, you know, and know it's a good book. I don't usually pass out Christian books. Sounds terrible. I'll give them a Bible, but I don't usually pass. This book is the greatest thing in the world. You know, leave it to Ivan to pull off something like this. But I have been passing these things out. And it's such a refreshing thing to go up to somebody and say, hey, I got a friend that wrote a book, and it's like a devotional, but it's like if God was going to give you a letter, what, you know, this is what it would say. And I'd say, well, what's your birthday? And then just go to their birthday and say, well, this is what if God was going to say something to you, you know, this is what he could have said to you. This is his letter, and read it. Because there's nothing condemning in this book. It's all uplifting. It's all positive. And man, I tell you what, people have just been freaking out over it. I mean, I went into an office the other day, gave everybody in the office one. Everybody's like, "Hey, you got a book?" And of course, I you know, they knew me, and so when the office manager said, "Well, way to go, Robert!" Now everybody's in there reading their book, ain't nobody working. I said, "Well, praise God, glory to God. That's what I'm talking about." So anyway. I think we had like 120 come in, and there was 85 books already sold. So there's some extras in there. So anyway, y'all go get them, and we'll order more if you need them. So anyway, praise God. So get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the middle of it and throw it right open. Because I don't know where I'm going this morning exactly. I'm so glad that we've got a few guests here this morning, because I have a real good excuse to go back over what I've been preaching. Because they've never heard it. And so you can't say I've repeated the same message again. And the pastor doesn't have any new material. I actually like wrote a new verse to the message I've been writing last week or preaching. So kind of saw a different light to it. And I want to turn it around after Brother Ivan ministered last week. And I've been talking about for the last several weeks about that there's an order to the kingdom of God. That God wants you blessed. Listen to me, church. You have got to understand, God wants you blessed. He wants his blessings in your life. He wants to bless you. God is not out to punish you. God is not out to torture you. God is not out to pour wrath upon you. Listen, all that stuff will come later on during the tribulation to everybody that's not a believer. But right now, God wants to pour his grace and his mercy out upon you. He loves you. He wants things to go well with you. He wants you to walk in the kingdom principles. But in order to do that, there's an order to the kingdom. It doesn't just randomly happen. It's not something that just takes place because you threw up a prayer. It's like going dove hunting and you just shoot up in the air once in a while and hope and can't understand why a bird didn't fall to the ground. Hello? You got to aim. You got to follow through. Do you know that you can take a shotgun and shoot at a dove or shoot skeet, and you can put the bead right on the target? All right? But if you don't move with the target and you pull that trigger, you're going to miss. You're going to be behind every time. Hello? Come on. Y'all out there? You got to follow through. Amen? Everybody say follow through. You got no follow through, you're going to have lots of misses. Do you know, I don't know why I'm talking about this, it just seems to be good. Do you know that the average in dove hunting, I don't know why I'm thinking about dove hunting right now, but the average in dove hunting is two birds per box of shells. I'm serious. I read it on the internet. That's the average. Two birds per box of shells. That's 25 shots and two birds. That's not too good of an average, is it? So if you think about it like that, the dove stands a really good chance. Are y'all with me? And you know why? If every person, it's follow through. Nobody follows through. They see it. They point and they shoot, but that time the shot gets there, the bird's moved, and you know, you gotta follow through. Amen. Say it again, follow through. in your life, in your walk with Jesus, there's no just throw up a prayer and think something's going to happen. I want you to know, I want to say this morning, I will say this, and I don't care even if I get in trouble with it. God wants to answer all of your prayers. Now, some of your prayers may be ignorant. Right? I'm sorry. I don't know. You're asking for something that's really totally out of you know, it's irrational. You know, you can't put food on the table, but you're believing God for a Mercedes. You're right. That would be ignorant, right? You need a job. So I'm saying I got to give a few of those that, you know, God may be saying, okay, let's see if we can't redirect it. But I'm telling you, God's for you. He wants you to be blessed. All right. But on the same hand, that as much as God wants you to be blessed, there's an enemy, the Bible says, that is your adversary that hates you. He hates you because you are living for Jesus. You're headed to heaven. You're called a saint. You're holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight by the blood of Jesus. You're a believer, and he does not want you to succeed. He does not want you to walk in happiness. He wants your life to be miserable. He wants to dominate you. And they say, well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know if I really believe in a devil. Well, read the Bible. Okay? Read the Bible. There's an enemy. There's an adversary. Now, you know, he ain't running around with a pitchfork and cloven hooves. I wish he was. Maybe we'd get a shot at him, you know, mount him, put him on the wall. But it's not like that. And he comes in a lot of different ways and a lot of different means. And if you learn the tactics of the enemy, then when he moves in your life or you see something, you start to, that smells like devil coming around here. Or you say, no, what did he say? And you hear something and it makes you think, wait a minute, I know what that is. You don't get fooled anymore. At first, you're just lumbering around, you know, you're an easy prey. But once you start learning about the Bible and learning what the Word of God says and learning the order of the kingdom, you start to realize that when somebody says something out of their mouth, whether what they said was the devil, stupid human, or God. Because it's something, right? I guess it could just be, I guess, okay human, right? Could be neutral conversation, I guess. But do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody comes up to you and says, oh man, you've really messed up. You're not going to make it. What would that be? Stupid human? Well, it sounds to me like anybody telling you you're not going to make it in life when God says that there's nothing impossible for those that'll believe, it sounds to me like that's exactly the opposite of what God said. Are y'all with me? So in its essence, it's demonic. Are you following me here? See, you got to get your ears tuned into what God says, because then if you understand it, then you can catch it. And then you say, that's not what the Word says. That's not what my God says about me. No, I'm sorry. I think he said I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer through Christ Jesus. Oh, yeah, he said I'm going to walk through tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. No. I'm going to overcome this situation. Hello? Y'all out there? I'm not going to be defeated. Okay? So this message kind of has a twofold meaning, and I'll explain this as I go into it. But there's three things that must take place in order for you to be dominated. Remember, the devil wants to dominate you, right? The first thing the devil has to do is he has to destroy your faith. You have to come to a place where you have no hope. You know that? Now, in my, you know, travels I've had over the world, you know, one of the most shocking places that I've ever been to I've seen horrible poverty, destitution everywhere, but the most shocking to me was when I was the first time I went to the Ukraine in 1991. I was blown away. I was blown away by the spirit of fear that was in that place and the absolute void of God. Now, I've been to the Kalahari. I've been to hear lions roaring at night, seen scorpions that would carry you off. I'm not talking fear like that. I'm talking like you just knew that God was not welcome in that place. Because you see, the very first thing communism has to do in order to succeed and have victory is communism has to take away the gospel. Because the gospel brings hope and gets people to look towards God, not towards the state. So for years, the communists had been in there. They had eradicated all the churches, pushed them so far underground you couldn't see them, and then left a state church. All right? Which brings me to the second thing. The second thing is that happens in life that for you to be dominated is that you have to be fed wrong information. Wrong information has to be sown in your heart. Are y'all with me? So if the enemy's going to dominate you, if the devil wants to dominate you, he wants to keep you in a place where you're not building your faith, you're not hearing the word, you're not being strengthened, and you don't have any hope, and then he immediately wants to come in and give you wrong information. Y'all with me? So they, in order to have it succeed, in order to have it walk in victory, they set up state churches, and state churches told the people what the word said, which was of no hope. Look to the state, look to the state, look to the state. And so it was nobody had a Bible, nobody could read a Bible, nobody got the misinformation was fed. Generations grew up under misinformation until they were void of God. Okay? The third thing that has to take place in order for you to be dominated, all right? Now, you know, I ought to get a hand clap on this one. The third thing that has to be done is they have to take away the ability for you to defend yourself. You got to lose your faith. You got to be sown misinformation. And then you have to be taken away from you the ability to defend yourself. Okay, now, in a natural setup, in a natural course of a world, if a government wants to take over its people, those are the first three things they'll start to do. Take away faith, persecute the church, get the church out of there so there's no faith, begin to put in misinformation, and then take away from the people their ability to defend themselves. Are y'all with me? Are you hearing me? Are you really hearing me this morning? On a natural scale, we already know it. It's been done. This is not, oh, pastor drank too much coffee this morning, a little stirred up. No. You know, pastor's a conspiracy theorist. No. Come on. Just go look at history. Look at the way every government has ever taken over a country. Go study your history. Those are the first three things that take place in order for that. Where did they get that? Did they think of it? The Bible says there's nothing new. Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun. That didn't come from man's thinking, man's great, let's do this. It came from the enemy, the adversary, who's a professional dominator. Are y'all hearing me? Listen to me. The things that are wrong with the world today are not wrong because man is evil. Hear me. They're wrong because man gives in to evil. Man's fault is they can be manipulated by evil and brought into evil, and we'll listen to the wrong thinking. And if you look at the wrong thinking, and you look at the wrong, the evil we would call it, and you look at that, it boils down to the fact that it's about domination. Do y'all remember a couple of years ago when the great dispute came about and President Obama said that the problem with the South is that they're always clinging to their guns and their Bibles? Where'd that come from? I mean, I'm just saying, he said it. I'm repeating it. I ain't putting words in his mouth. He said it. Yeah. We may be redneck and may be clinging our guns in our Bibles, but I'm saying it's the only way not to be dominated. Hello? I'm telling you. In a spiritual realm, it's the same thing. The enemy wants to come in and he wants to dominate you. He does not want you to operate in faith. He does not want you to operate in the principles of the kingdom of God. So he's going to try to dominate you. The very first thing he's going to try to do is destroy your faith. He's going to try to magnify that you prayed about something and it didn't come to pass. And so therefore, God's not going to answer your prayers. He's going to try to put doubt in your mind about God. Put doubt in your mind about that the word works. He's going to try to put doubt in your mind that Jesus is real. He's going to try to put doubt in your mind. He's going to try to break your faith down. Okay? And then he's going to want to put somebody beside you that will speak to you misinformation, so that you're not believing the truth. Well, maybe God doesn't work. Well, maybe we're just all in there. Maybe we're just supposed to just sit here and hold on. Like it's like on an airplane. Okay? I never have understood this. I pray I never am in an airplane crash, but if I am, I don't think I'm going to do what the stewardess tells me. It just does not sound right to be sitting in a seat and put your head between your legs when your plane's going to crash. I could see duck behind the seat. You know? But I just don't like that position. Besides that, anybody given to the gut, that is a tough position to get in. Y'all with me? I can see stay seated. I can see put your seatbelt on. But I mean, it just doesn't make any sense for me to stick my head down in a hole. Y'all with me? It may be the best position. I don't know. But it did, in my mind, I don't like that information. All right? Point is misinformation wants to come into you and get you to doubt and come into a place where you do not believe that the Word of God is true. Because if you get to a place where you don't believe God's true, or you don't believe it does any good to pray, or you don't believe it does any good to go to church, or you don't believe it does any good to speak the Word or to read your Bible or whatever, he gets you into this place where, oh yeah, I guess I ought to be doing that, but you know, I. And you just compromise, well then he's beginning to dominate you. Now I may be a little extreme for some people, but you know, I believe in freedom of speech. I believe in it. San Antonio right now, I haven't seen the sign, but I saw the deal with it. It's a billboard that says something. It's anti-God. It's a big billboard put up by the atheists, and it says like no God or something like that. Did anybody else see that? I didn't actually see the billboard. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's two of them. But you know, the bottom line is, glory to God, I'm glad we got free speech. If I want to put up a billboard that says Jesus is the only way, then I ought to be able to get to do it. Y'all with me? Things are getting off balance when the misinformation gets to be said and the truth, the way we see the truth, what we know the truth is, has to get put down, then we're wrong. But as far as an equal freedom of speech, hey, I'll go stand toe-to-toe with any other religion. I'm not scared. Man, the gospel has everything the world offer. I'm not scared of that. Let them do whatever they want to. Anybody foolish enough to want to go into that, well, you know, glory to God. It's your business. Because we live in a free society that should have the ability to make a choice. Y'all with me? But if the choices are made because of misinformation, or if the choices are tried to put upon another group of people because of misinformation, well, that's wrong. You're trying to be dominated. Y'all with me? And then the third thing is the ability to defend yourself. Now listen to me. If you ever get to the place where you cannot speak the word, if I come to the place in this world where I can't stand from this pulpit and preach the word of God as the word of God is written and seen, and I can't do that, well then I have lost the ability to defend myself. Are y'all with me? It's one thing to defend yourself like we're thinking. Okay? It's another thing to be able to say spiritually to defend yourself that I can't preach the word of God. I can't preach the gospel. I can't tell people what the Bible says. I loved what Brother Ivan said. I adopted it in my life last week when he said that some preachers being interviewed and they were asking about I don't remember if it was gay marriage or whatever he thought about, whatever. And he said, listen, they want to know what is your opinion? He said, I don't have an opinion. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor and a preacher. And I just can tell you what the Word of God says. That's my job. I don't have an opinion. The Bible is my opinion. I see, I like to throw it back on Jesus. Y'all with me? If you want to argue with somebody, argue with him. He said it. I'm just saying what the Word says. Okay? But what happens in our society is that we take away absolute truths. And we want to make this change right now. Okay? So, kind of going back to my message, the first thing that I said that you've got to understand about the order and the kingdom of God is God has to be first. There's no other way. God is either first, and His Word, I'll get into that in a minute, is true, or there's nothing. But the problem is, people don't want God to be first. They want God to change. They want God to change to fit whatever they want to do. Hello? I saw this the other day on television. I'm just repeating what I saw on television. Had a Methodist church and a Baptist church. Methodist preachers in the pulpit, pounding the pulpit, talking about how they needed to oppose the amendment going on, and I believe it was North Carolina, about keeping same marriage as an institution between man and a woman. And he was saying that they needed to vote it down because it needed to be open, that we need to show people how much we love them. Baptist ministers pounding the pulpit saying, the Word of God's against this. We need to make sure this amendment gets through. Two men, two churches, two denominations, both preaching the gospel, both proclaiming to be Christians, and both of them have completely opposite views. How can that be? So I said, that's their opinion. I don't get the freedom to have an opinion. If we're going to be preachers of righteousness, I don't have an opinion. I have to do what the Word says. I have to go to what the Word says. I have to stand on what the Word says. And God's Word has to be first. And I have to be willing to say, I'm going to back it up. I hate to even say this. You know, the politics all coming up now, you know, and they have this deal going on about Governor Romney about that, you know, he was a bully in school, pushed a girl. And I thought about that. I said, oh, Jesus, man, I ain't never running for president. Go look in my past and say, this guy was a tyrant. But when I was in school, I always loved to take the side of the underdog. Always loved that when the bully, the real bully, was picking on somebody, I just wanted to take their side. I guess I just wanted to get in a fight. I don't know. And I would turn it on them to make what the underdog's point the truth. And I'd just flip it on the guy and turn it on the bully and say, well, no, he's right, you're wrong, be quiet, you know, here we go. But I want to tell you that's what they're trying to do to us today. Because man wants to put his own opinion in there. We don't have an opinion, church. The opinion is what the Word of God says. And if the Word of God says no, no means no. God has to be first. If God's not going to be first in your life, and the things of God are not going to stay in there first, well, you know, he was having a bad day when he wrote that one down. You know, we can kind of let it slide. It either is or it isn't. Are y'all with me? You can't come up and say, well, I believe that. Can't do it. Well, our denomination believes, listen, folks, there ain't no denomination. It's what the Word of God says. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, you're going to read a Bible, you got to do what the Word says. If you don't know what the Word says, then you need to get one out and read it and find out what it does say. Which brings me to the second point. Point two of this thing about operating in the kingdom of God and the principles is, point two is, listen, He never changes. Go to the book of Titus, chapter 1. It's a great book. Titus. Everybody say Titus. For those of you that don't know, that's my grandson's name. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie. Everybody say God can't lie. Do you know if God lied, he would cease to exist, because therefore he would have broken his own commandment and he'd have to go out. Hello? God can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. What God said, he meant, and he ain't changing. Do not fall for the line that says, well, the Bible is out of date, and, you know, society is changing, and things are developing in life that we need to do. Listen to me, don't fall for that line to the devil. It's about dominating you. Hello? God's not going to change. What his word says is true. He's not changing. You can't say, and you can't go along with anybody that's going to take what the word of God says and twist it or change it. Do you hear what I'm saying, folks? Folks, we're in some very serious times. Christians don't even know what the truth is. They don't even know what the truth is. You know why? Because they've never read the Bible. And they've let man tell them over years and years and years, man has told them what the doctrine of the church was rather than what the Bible says. People still believe that they can't read the Bible and understand what it's talking about. But I want you to understand, sometimes I could see where you could read a Bible and you might not understand the historical place or the events that were really taking place at that time or what was really going on unless you knew some history behind it. But I cannot see anybody reading the New Testament and not being able to understand it. Maybe you don't understand grace. Maybe you don't understand truth really to its fullest. But I can't understand how you can't just read through the Bible, the New Testament, and find right from right and wrong from wrong. Listen to me. And I also can't understand how come people can read romance novels that are yay thick and can't read the New Testament. Men, if you can read The American Rifleman, you can read the New Testament. If you read a three-page article, listen to me, if you read a three-page article what was the one that was in the last issue? The best shotguns of 2012, and you read through that article, the time it took you to read through there, you could have probably read the book of Mark. And then if you spent the time to go to the websites to look at it, and then the amount of drooling, and then going to the bank account and checking it and seeing what's there and finding the local gun shops and all that, the amount of money time you spent on there, you could have gone through probably, you know, at least two books of the New Testament. It's just that we don't do it because we've been fed misinformation. Listen to me, church. We've been fed misinformation. If you start to understand that you are trying to be dominated, that the enemy wants to dominate you? I don't know about y'all. I don't like to be dominated. I'll be honest with you, though. It's sometimes tricky because it's not obvious. It's not somebody running at me with a pair of handcuffs. It's not somebody trying to herd me down a chute into a jail cell. The things that are going on today are very subtle. But the bottom line is they're trying to dominate me. I don't like it. I like freedom. I like freedom in the gospel and freedom and just being able to do because I believe what I believe because Jesus said it and I believe it to be true. I don't mind the persecution. When somebody says, I can't believe you're just there's no giving on your part. You're just straight down. Yeah, I am. It's what the Bible says. That's what I believe. Well, what about? I don't know. I don't care. That's what the Bible says. What I believe. Well, that's just ignorant. You haven't gone out there. No. I just read the Bible. I really believe it's true. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm sorry. Well, you need to go out. And have you studied all the great religions of the world? And you've done all this and all that? Yeah, I looked. I did. I went through college. I have a doctorate degree. I ain't ignorant. Just looked that way. Talked that way. I looked at it. I studied it. I didn't give him a lot of thought. I know what the Word says. Are y'all with me here?
Yes.
When you know what the Word says and you stand on the Word, it's very liberating because you're just standing based upon the Word of God. I just believe the Bible's true. Liberty comes to you. Freedom comes to you because you know God's a God that's not going to change. That's what His Word says. So all of a sudden, people that are trying to dominate you, you're standing on the Word. And there's only one person going to back off. It's got to be them. Second Corinthians 1:18 says, but God is faithful. Our word to you is not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among us, preached among you by us, was not yes and no, but in Him was yes, and for all the promises of God in Him are yes and amen to the glory of God. God says, man, the gospel's not some kind of a yes and no deal. Today it is and tomorrow it's not. It's yes. Hello? The third point about being dominated is kind of what I've been saying the whole time, is that you have to believe that the Word of God is supreme. I will give them that the Bible has been handed down through generations and people wrote it and people put in there, and that there could be some things wrong. And there are some misinterpretations. No, excuse me, mistranslations. There I go. With words. But you know, if you're a student of the Word of God, you ought to have you a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance sitting by your side. And all you got to do is reach over there and look at the Word and find the Word. And it's just pretty simple. It ain't no big deal. It isn't like, oh, it wasn't Jesus that went on the cross. It was, you know, Fred. Got it wrong. We've been worshiping the wrong God. He's really, his name's Fred. No. It's nothing like that. Simple things. I saw a study one time that over the, because there's not one translation. It's been handed down over generation after generation. And there's thousands of manuscripts all put in there. And that they, when they combined all the thousands of manuscripts and all the deal like that, they were like 20 words different over 6,000 years of writings. It was ridiculous. Ridiculous. But they won't say, oh, there's something wrong with your Bible. Listen, there's nothing wrong with your Bible. I don't care what translation you're reading. It may shed light on it one way or the other, or more emphasis on one word than another, but I'm just telling you, your Bible's right. I don't care if you're reading the Living Translation or the King James. It don't make any difference. It's right. Are y'all with me? And God's Word is supreme. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God will stand forever, right? It ain't changing. It's there. It's been around forever. It's going to be around forever. Yesterday, I saw a program on the History Channel on the seven apocalypse of the world or whatever, and I thought, I got to see what they're going to say. Put it on there, and it was really interesting because it was they had pastors and whatever talking about the book of Revelation, and then scientists proving how every one of the seals that are broken and the wrath that could come upon the earth, how each one of those are possible through natural events. They showed exactly how it could happen. Did y'all know that during the Black Plague in the Middle Ages, that over 150 million people died at that time? At that time, there was only 450 million people on the face of the earth, so almost a quarter of the population died from the Black Plague. You say, oh, the Bible prophecy says that a quarter of the, you know, a third of the population would die? And you say, oh, how could that be? It's already happened. It's already happened. They say that this is where you need to get your faith going. They say that a virus mutates every 100 years and brings about a plague. And the last one we had was in 1918, the Spanish flu. The Spanish flu in 1980 killed 80 million people. Those kind of things stagger my mind. 80 million people dead. There is more people killed in the Spanish flu than were ever killed in World War I by a mutated virus that couldn't be stopped. They say every 100 years it'll happen. You know, like, what made me think about, some of you guys know this about, you know, like when deer population gets up and then all of a sudden blue tongue comes in and all the, you know, a bunch of deer die off. We see it happen in nature all the time. We just forget we're in the animal kingdom too. All I'm saying is the Word of God is supreme. God's Word works. But these people are even proving how it could happen in natural means to prove that the Word of God would work. I'm just telling you, it's supreme. It's not going to go anywhere. Jesus said in Matthew 5:18 that the worlds will pass away, but not even one little jot or tittle. Not, that means a little pinch is not going to be fulfilled in my Word. I don't understand it all. I can't always go to everything in the Scriptures and prove every little point. Sometimes everything has the same things. Some things have to be accepted by faith, and you just have to walk in it. And I don't even try. I've learned to not try. I just know the Word of God's true. The maps could be wrong, you know, but other than that, in my Bible, it's all right. Okay? You got to believe that. Is what the Bible says. But you got to know what the Bible says. You can't be fed misinformation. I know that from the raising I got, which was a good raising in a wholesome family and a wholesome church, there was things that I gathered in to my thinking that when I finally started learning the Word of God and walking things the Word of God, I saw that I was wrong in my thinking. Every one of us have wrong thinking. Every one of us have wrong thinking. And it can be irrational wrong thinking, but you can have it. Like to this day, I have a hard time believing that if I eat Ruffles potato chips, I'm not going to get a sinus infection. You say, Robert, that's the dumbest thing I've heard. I don't know. It just seemed like when I was a kid, every time I ate Ruffles, I ended up getting a sinus infection. So it's like stuck in my head, Ruffles are associated with a sinus infection. So I don't ever eat Ruffles, never eat them again, never have touched them. You couldn't force a Ruffle on me today. I'm kind of hungry right now, but if you had Ruffles, I wouldn't eat them. That's irrational thinking. But it's in my head. And if I see them, I see them, I go. I can just start to kind of feel sick by looking at them. You with me? It's just something that's ridiculous stuck in my head. Doesn't make any sense. Are y'all there? We all have thinking that's wrong, that the enemy sowed into our lives. It's full of doubt. We've got to find it. We've got to know what the truth is, and we've got to root it out of our lives to really be hung into what the Word says. I'm telling you, the society. Folks, listen to me. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Have y'all ever seen a president talk about that we need to have same-sex marriage? I'm blown away. I mean, we talk about them, about the defense budget or the, you know, whatever federal thing. But we're talking about things like now that I'm thinking about, man, what in that word would not have even been uttered in 1950. 1980, 1970. I mean, that was taboo talk. And now we got the president saying, yeah. I'm just saying, where are we going with society when this gets national attention? When we're having to go out and vote that if marriage should be between a man and a woman. I tell you this much, if it gets passed, if it goes through, then I'm voting that we ought to be able to marry dogs. I'm going to go take it to the forest. If y'all want to do something crazy, I'll show you crazy. You can marry your parakeet. Because to me, it's that ridiculous. Walk into the JP's office with a big old pig on a leash and say, I want you to marry us. It's a good old pig. I like his pig. Because our society has gone completely boinkers. Are y'all with me here? All I'm saying is all of this stuff comes about. Just think about it. If it just gets in there in a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit. And what it is, it's about bringing you under domination. Have you ever thought about what will you give up? You know, we all like to say like Charlton Heston, they'll pry this out of my cold, dead hand. But, you know, it ain't going to be that easy. How many of y'all in here have seen the movie Red Dawn? Hold your hand up again. I didn't get a full check here, okay? You had to be raised in the 70s, you know, and get through that. Okay. Y'all need to go rent it. We all want it that way. All our rednecks want it that way. Just the enemy comes parachuting in and it's a real cut and dry. But I'm telling you, with the enemy today, it's not cut and dried, folks. It's not that easy that it's the guy that speaks a foreign language running around in your backyard is the enemy. It's not that easy. Are y'all with me? It's subtle. It's all about dominating you. But let me ask you, what do you give up? It's right. We're already giving up some stuff. But where's the point where you draw the line in the sand? Do you know where yours is? I can tell you one thing, you better start finding it. You better start finding it. Where's the line you draw? Hello? Number four of the order of the kingdom of God. You got to understand this. The fourth thing is Jesus is Lord. He's the only answer. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care. Oh, God is a loving God. And he's just going to, everybody's going to go to heaven and we're going to all run through the field of daisies eating lollipops. That ain't what my Bible says. You say, well, oh, God, he's a loving God. There's no way he could be like that. I did not write it. It is not my having to be my opinion that put this thing down here. This is what the Bible says. It's in black and white. You can read it. That's what it says. That there's only one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. You say, well, that's hate crime speech. I'm just preaching what the Word of God says. It's in the Bible says Holy Bible. Actually, my iPad says nothing. Excuse me. Y'all with me? I can't argue the point. But you can't, if they want to try to bring me into domination and dominate me and bring me into subjugation because I believe what the Word of God says, then I'll go down. Believe in what the Word of God says. There's some things we can't give up. There's some ground that we cannot yield. Well, if your God was really a loving God, it wouldn't be like that. Look, folks, this is what he said, and I believe it to be true. That's the only thing you've got to answer. You don't have an opinion. You got to say what the Word says. Hello? It gets really easy when you do this. You know, it gets easy to say, well, what does the Bible say about it? You just get the Bible out. Uh-huh. Okay, what does the Bible say about this? You know, they make Bibles that have their a topical index in the back. You can get a Knaves topical concordance, and you just go in there and look up anything you want to look up, and it'll give you the scriptures right for it. Makes it real easy for you if you don't want to memorize the whole book. You know, don't know where it all is. Just go get you a Knaves. Probably have one in the bookstore in there. We have two? Oh, no. There we go. I just go look it up. It's in there. What does it say about this? Okay. And it just tells you, gives you the scriptures for it. Whatever the word says for it, what the truth is. Well, maybe we can twist it or turn that or make that interpreted a different way or see. Come on, folks. I tell you a funny one. I have a new truck, and it's my work truck, and it's a diesel. And there was a person who has a truck just like it, and they were telling me that one thing to be careful about was those new diesel motors, the turbocharger in there. If you ever sit there and let the truck idle for very long, you need to run the idle up. And they had put a delete kit on their truck, and it had all the little programmers to it, and they could run the RPMs up on it. And said, well, you really need to do that with your truck. And so I thought, okay. And so I thought, you know, it's technically advanced as everything is. Like, they are. I just don't know why they just shouldn't just have something like that on the truck. And so I got the owner's manual out. Read through there. It said right there, sitting idle higher. Okay, just push this button and that wheel. Took my truck, pushed that button. Whoa, idle came up. Misinformation, you see. It was already there the whole time. I just didn't read the manual. I read the manual, I was like, looky here. And I had really was starting to think about getting a stick, you know, cutting it off just right to the, so I could just set it in the seat and put it on the gas pedal. Y'all with me? Y'all would have had the same thought. Just go get a stick and stick it in there. If I wanted to idle the truck. Now, just think about how ignorant that would have been had I not ever read the manual. I just went for years like that. Now, what about our Christianity? We've been going around with a stick stuck on the pedal when the whole time all you had to do is click two buttons and the thing would have done it itself. How many things are we doing in life as Christians that all we really need to do is understand what God's Word said and believe Him? When we've been doing it the hard way. Hello? Matthew 6 is a tough one. It says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor what you shall wear. That's a pretty tough one. Take no thought. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about your finances. Hello. Don't worry about your retirement. Don't worry about anything. I'll take care of the grass. I'll take care of you. Doesn't that sound good? No worries. How many of us do it? How many of us do it? Oh, we got to get in there and start looking and start planning and start thinking about this and start thinking about that. You know, just listen to the news. Get you so messed up, you know. You don't know what to do. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
But Jesus says, just take no thought for it. Isn't it going to be interesting when we get to heaven? And we see what is really there in heaven. And then we turn back around and we realize that we weren't even in the realm of even believing in anything. And we were like, darn, why did I worry about that? Y'all with me? Okay, going on. To number five. The fifth thing is, and don't worry, we're going to be out here in just a minute. I only have 25 points. Number five, he only moves when faith is present. Talking about the order of the kingdom of God, he only moves when faith is present. Listen to me, if you're not believing God, he ain't moving. It's your faith. Listen to me. It's your faith that turns your world. Had a man tell me one time, well, I don't remember what the situation was. And he said, well, it just seems to me if God would want me to have that, then he'd just go ahead and do it. I said, well, what if I could show you that God wants you to have that, but he wants you to believe him for it? Well, I don't know about that. I said, okay. Had a person come to my office one time and said, I want to be saved. This is years ago when I was a young fireball and thought I could not be stumped. Person came in and said, well, I really want to be saved. I said, well, no problem. It's easy, simple. Here. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, read the scripture. It says, you know, confess your mouth, believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ should be saved. They said, yeah, but the problem is I don't believe it. I said, excuse me? I said, well, do you believe the Bible's true? Oh, yeah. I said, well, that's what the scripture said. Then how could you not believe it? That's what the word says. I don't know. I just don't believe it. I said, really? So I was just dumbfounded. I didn't know what to do. And so I said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, I guess you're going to go to hell. And the look on their face when I said that. It just, their mouth dropped open. Couldn't believe a preacher said that to them. I said, I don't know what else to say. I think it's what the word says. Man, I tell you what. Then they started saying, well, give me some scriptures. I need to start believing. I said, yes, yeah, come on. Got their faith going. But nothing in the life is going to happen just because. Just because you're good. Just because you made some cookies. Just because you helped a little lady across the street. Just because you were nice to your wife that morning. Just because. It ain't going to happen just because. It's going to happen because you believe the Word of God. You grab hold of the Word of God. You speak the Word of God. You declare the Word of God. You walk in what the Word of God says. God's first. You know His Word's true. It never changes. Y'all with me? Things don't just happen because they happen. Things happen because your faith is turning your world. And if your world's spinning out of control, maybe your faith needs to slow it down. And if your world is barely moving, then maybe it needs to be sped up. But your world has to operate on faith, and it's your faith. I'll prove this to you. Go through the Bible and find every time Jesus talked to any person, just take the Gospel of Matthew, anytime he talked to a person about faith, and if you'll see every time he said, well done, your faith has made you well. According to your faith, be healed. He was always putting it back on them and says, you believed. The woman with the issue of blood came and touched it and says, woman, your faith has made you well. Folks, it's your faith that turns your world. It's your faith that turns the hand of God and moves and has got you. It's not your crying. It's not, man, it'd be easy if we could do just penance, you know, and just beat ourselves up. But that ain't going to get nothing. It's faith that moves. It's the catalyst that brings all the promises of God about in your life. If you don't have any faith, the only way to get faith is the Word. Because the Bible says in Romans 10 that faith comes through hearing and hearing the Word of God. Hello? The last one, number 6. Jesus, listen to me, had an answer for it all. All right? The church. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 says, husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. The church. Listen, Jesus knew all this was going to happen. He knew that you were going to be trying to be dominated and subjugated. He knew that you were going to be trying to fed misinformation. He knew that there was going to be the enemy coming around to get you off to the left or to the right. He knew it. So what did he do? He set up a body of believers called the church. The church, the word is ecclesia. It means a body of believers, a group of believers. You're the ecclesia, the body, come together of Christ. That we could talk to each other, share the word with each other, have Sunday schools, have youth, have children's church, have all these things. Hello? So why? So we could not be fed misinformation. Ephesians 4:11 says that he gave himself some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry so that the church could be equipped. He put men and gave them special gifts. He said, this is what we're doing to equip people. Listen to me. The church has a place in life. I will admit there has been lunatics in behind the helms of churches. There's been all kinds of absurdities and things done in church, but that doesn't mean that the network, the church, was wrong. Just means that guy, you know, was wrong. Hello? People say, well, I don't need to go to church. I can go outside and under a tree and sit there and worship God and be just... No, no, no. You're going to get fed misinformation. We need us. We need each other. Look at the person beside you and say, I need you. We need each other. Amen? I don't know about you. I like freedom. How many of y'all like freedom in here? Amen? I want to stay free. I don't want to be dominated. I want to stay free. Amen? Stand to your feet if you would, please. Now, I know this is a very special day. You probably already thought I forgot about it, but today was Mother's Day. I celebrated Mother's Day with my mother yesterday because I knew today we'd have a bunch of mothers. And so, mothers, I want to tell you, thank you for putting up with us. Thank you for loving us when we shouldn't have been loved. Thank you for taking care of us when we were ugly and dirty and everything else in life. Everybody had a mother. So moms, I just pray. I want to pray a special prayer for y'all as we're closing today. That y'all just have the greatest, most blessed day in the world. That you feel loved and appreciated. That the scars and the pains from the past fall away. How about that? Huh? Y'all had to go through labor. We didn't. Of course, I was involved in that. I was there, Mom. You were on the giving end and I was on the receiving end. Right? Hey, I was there. Don't remember much, but. So put your hand, if your mother's here this morning, grab her. Go get around her. Have new mommies. You lost your mother? And let's just pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just thank you for mothers. Lord, I just ask a special blessing upon them that truly in life, Lord, the things that have ever been discouraging, the things that have ever been harmful or hurtful, or, Lord, the pains of the past, would all be removed today in Jesus' name. That, Lord, that today would be a glorious day. Today would be a day of joy. Today would be a day of peace. Today would be a day of just rejoicing, Lord God, and just feeling special. I ask you to bless moms today and make them feel special. Lord, I pray today that your hand is upon each and every one of them. And that, Lord, that they would live with joy and peace all the days of their life. And that their children, which are their heritage, would be a blessing to them. And that, Lord, that each mother in their old age, their children would give and give and give and bless and bless and bless. That the children would be blessed to just provide for their parents. And Lord, I thank you for it. Praise you for it. And all mamas say amen.
Amen.
I prayed that one for you, Joe. Did you get it? Good. Amen. Amen. Now listen, I'm gonna pray one more prayer, and we're gonna be dismissed today. Y'all go out, enjoy your families. Listen to me. Figure out where you'll draw your line in the sand. I'm telling you, church. Listen to me. Domination's coming your way. You better figure out where you're going to draw the line in the sand and how much you want to fight for it. You better do it. So take the hand of the person again next to you. Look at them and say, I love freedom. So, Father, today as we go out in this world, I just pray this message is sealed within their hearts. I declare today, Lord God, that as we leave this building and go out into this world, Lord, that we can detect the voice of our adversary from the voice of you, Lord God. That we learn the voice of our enemy so that we don't fall into that trap. Lord, we just give you praise and we thank you for it, for your hand upon us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. Have a great day.